Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song makes you wonderful. Something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the second chapter of Acts, where we've been learning how to specifically glorify the Lord. And today, as we pick up in Acts chapter 4, verse 8, we'll follow the response of Peter concerning what it takes to get into heaven, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, "You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Here in the context, Peter, as you perhaps will remember, was making his defense before the Jewish religious authorities. They were asking about this man who had been healed. And by what power, by what name has this man been made well? And so Peter is answering their question here as he makes his defense. But as he does so, there are certain things that he says that had application far beyond the immediate situation. Here in the verses we read, Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, lays down universal, absolute truth concerning the way of salvation. So, you know, in a sense, it is incidental to his argument, but yet it's incredibly relevant for all time because he's stating an absolute truth. He's stating a universal absolute truth here concerning the way of salvation. Now, salvation is the most important issue facing man. There's no other topic that even comes near in importance to the issue of salvation. Every human being is personally responsible for his or her own salvation. I cannot save you, and you cannot save me. Each of us must personally choose whether or not we'll be saved. Not that we save ourselves, but that we choose to receive the salvation that God has made available to us through the only Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, to be saved means basically three things. Number one, it means to have your sins, which are violations of God's law and offenses against his person, to have your sins forgiven. Secondly, it means to be reconciled to God. And thirdly, it means that you become a citizen of heaven. Your citizenship is in heaven. to not be saved means to be under the guilt of your sin, separated from God, and destined for hell, the place of outer darkness where there is wailing and gnashing of teeth forever. Oh, how the postmodern mind despises such statements or such ideas. These are the kinds of statements that people become highly agitated over. Yet, they are true. Absolutely true. Provably true. And so what we want to do is look at what Peter said. Break down what he said here as he lays out for us the only way to heaven. The first thing that I want you to notice that Peter did is he made reference to the fact that Jesus was the stone that was rejected by the builders. And in doing this, what Peter was actually doing was appealing to prophecy. You see, there was a prophecy that declared that the stone would be rejected by the builders. If you want to turn real quickly to the 118th Psalm, let me read it to you. Verse 22, "The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee. Send now prosperity. Blessed be he that comes in the name of the Lord." So Peter appeals to prophecy. As we have opportunities to present Jesus Christ to people as the only way of salvation, I think it's important that we inform them that this salvation was promised hundreds and even thousands of years before Jesus Christ came in the Old Testament. A while back, I was watching an interview with a couple of leading evangelical Christians, and they were being asked a variety of questions, and they were asked concerning faith in Jesus Christ, and they were actually asked the question if they believed that Jesus was the only way to salvation. And they, of course, affirmed that they did believe that. And they made reference to a few scriptures in support of it. But I really personally felt like they didn't give as strong of a case as they could have. And as I was listening, I was thinking, you know, at this point, what I believe they should have done is they should have gone back to the Old Testament prophecies. They should have gone back to the very beginning. They should have gone back to, you know, as far back as God creating man, God having a relationship with man, man falling from that relationship, and then God making a promise that he would redeem man. And then God there made the promise, of course, that he would send a Savior. And I thought, oh, they would have had such a better case had they gone back and built upon the prophecies of the Old Testament. Because, you know, when you tell somebody that there's only one way to salvation and it's Jesus, sometimes people don't realize just exactly who Jesus is. They don't realize that his entire life is coming. Everything about him was prophesied hundreds and even thousands of years before he got here. And I think we do ourselves a disservice in our presentation of the gospel, especially when we're considering that there's only one way to heaven. I think we do ourselves a disservice if we don't present that part of the case to them. Because to me, if you take it back to God the Creator, you take it back to man being created by God, and then man falling from the relationship and God promising to restore it, then I think the case is more easily established that there's really only one way to salvation, the way that God declared that he would reconcile man all the way back in the beginning. And so Peter does that here. He makes reference to the prophets. And in the Old Testament, we find hundreds, and as I said, even thousands of years before the coming of Jesus, we find his family lineage his miraculous entrance into the human race, his birthplace, the time of his appearance in history, his miracles, his substitutionary death, his resurrection. We find all of these things foretold centuries before he arrived on the scene. And so I think we've got something to learn from Peter. As we make the claim that there is no salvation apart from Christ, that we establish that claim, first of all, upon the prophecies of the Old Testament. Now notice the second thing that Peter says here in verse 12. He says, neither is there salvation in any other. And here's what I want you to catch here. Hear the Apostle Peter. Remember, he's speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Verse 8 tells us, and Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, he went on and said these things. So he's speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He emphatically denies that all roads lead to God, or that all religions are an equally valid means of attaining salvation. Peter denies that here. He says, neither is there salvation in any other. Basically, what Peter's saying is there isn't another religion on the face of the earth that can truly save a person. Now, we are living in a time and in a place where the all roads lead to God, or all religions teach the same thing doctrine, is fast becoming the law of the land. Did you know that if I, as a pastor, were invited to, for the opening of, let's say, a city council meeting, if I were to come and to do that, I would be informed before I prayed that it is illegal to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the law of the land. Now, the reason for that is because to pray in the name of Jesus Christ implies that there could possibly be only one way to God. And the powers that be do not want that message being circulated. Now, the only people that truly believe that all roads lead to God, or that all religions teach the same thing, the only people that really believe that are what you would call the nominally religious. And the nominally religious are those whose religion doesn't affect the way they live. And there are lots of people like that. They have a religious affiliation. Maybe they're a Methodist. Maybe they're a Presbyterian. Maybe they're Jewish. Maybe they're Catholic. Whatever the case, at least that's what they would tell you, but yet their religion has not impacted their life at all. It doesn't affect in one iota the way they live. Those are really the only people that take the whole idea of all roads leading to God, or that all religions teach the same thing, seriously. And they basically do it out of ignorance, because they haven't really taken the time to investigate their own religion or other religions to find that that absolutely is not true. Now, the atheistic humanists that control the media, the educational system, and certain aspects of our government, they use the all religions teach the same thing doctrine as a ploy to downplay the significance of religion in general. You see, those who are humanist, and a humanist is basically an atheist, they don't believe in any religion at all. But they realize that there are a lot of people who are religious, and so they can't, you know, come right out and do away with religion. So what they then seek to do is downplay the importance of it. And as long as you hold your religion and it doesn't really impact your life, they're fine with that. That's not going to create any problems in society. But yet anyone who knows anything about any religion knows that all religions do not teach the same thing. The person who makes that statement is a person who is either ignorant or deceptive in regard to the matter. Those are the only two possibilities. Because anyone who knows anything about any religion knows that religions do not teach the same thing. Let me quote to you from Dr. Michael Green, a senior research fellow at Wycliffe Hall, Oxford, England. He said this: "It is really ludicrous to suppose that all religions lead to God, when Buddhism does not believe that there is any God at all, when Islam makes him so far removed, when Hinduism offers extinction after many incarnations, and in the meantime sanctions idolatry on a massive scale. How can all religions lead to God when they have such different beliefs about God, the afterlife, and how one can attain it?" You see, it's a complete myth, this idea that all religions lead to God or all religions teach the same thing. The fact of the matter is this: no other religion presents us with a Savior. As Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other. No other religion presents us with a Savior. Jesus stands alone as the one who claimed to be the Savior of the world, the one and the only one who could reconcile man to God. Jesus stands alone. There's no one else, any founder of any religious system, there's not even any theological system outside of biblical Christianity that teaches anything like a Savior at all. It just isn't there. Now, if you think about it, you can understand why Buddhism, say, for example, or Confucianism, they, of course, would have never taught any such thing because they are really systems of ethical behavior, not of salvation. The whole idea of a reconciliation with God doesn't even exist within those systems. We call them religious systems. They're really, more accurately, in a sense, ethical systems, but of course there is a spiritual element to them. Muhammad certainly never claimed to be a savior. It's just as Peter said, neither is salvation in any other. And then he goes on and he says that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. No other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. Now, this wasn't merely Peter's opinion. And believe it or not, I've read some Christian authors. Well, they call themselves Christians. I doubt the validity of their claim. But I've read Christian authors, so-called, who deny the idea of Jesus being the only way to heaven. And when they look at this statement by Peter, their response is, oh, well, you can't take what Peter was saying in the context of an address to these people as a doctrinal truth. And so they dismiss it on that basis. They say, this is just a man standing before, you know, these people arguing his case and somebody recorded it, but we can't take this as doctrinal truth. We can't draw the conclusion from this that there's only one way to heaven. Well, I think we can, because I don't agree with them. I don't think this was Peter's opinion at all. As a matter of fact, I know it wasn't, because Jesus said the same thing himself. Let's look together at what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. This is a great passage that basically declares the same thing that Peter is saying here. And quite often, it's one that's overlooked. It's not referred to that often when we're talking about this subject. But I want you to know this. Jesus taught the same thing, that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Verse 27 of Matthew 11, all things, Jesus is speaking, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knows the Son but the Father. Neither knows any man the Father except the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Jesus said, no man knows the Father. No one knows God except the one to whom the Son will reveal him. So Jesus is making the same kind of statement that Peter made. There's no way to even know God unless we know God through Jesus Christ. Now, over in John chapter 14, verse 6, a verse that's much more familiar on this topic. Jesus, again, he is speaking and he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. How could anything be any clearer than that? I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Now, over in the 17th chapter of John, again, Jesus said something similar. John chapter 17, the first two verses, these words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Now listen, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Jesus said that he had power over all flesh. That is a radical statement. Power over all flesh, not just some people in certain parts of the world where Christianity would be known, and then other people, of course, would have another means of attaining salvation depending on where they lived and what religion they were brought up under. You see, that's all a ploy of the enemy to keep people in darkness. But Jesus makes it clear in these three places, and we could go on, over and over again, looking at both Old and New Testament, where the same thing that Peter said is being said. Now, Paul the Apostle, he also taught the exclusiveness of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5, speaking of Christ Jesus, verse 6 says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Notice, he has been given a name that is above every name. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. That puts Jesus in a category all by himself. And so Peter stated it in our text here in Acts 4. Jesus stated it several times over as he spoke during his public ministry. Paul the Apostle, he stated it here in Philippians. But you know, this is the message of the entire Bible. We could go back into the Old Testament and find the same thing being communicated, that God would send a Savior, one Savior, not many. As a matter of fact, Isaiah 43:11 says, I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Now, Jesus, his name, you remember, it means the Lord is salvation. You remember when the angel appeared to Joseph and he informed him that Mary was pregnant by the activity of the Holy Spirit, a supernatural thing, a miracle had taken place. The angel says to Joseph, you are to call his name Jesus, Yeshua would be the Hebrew pronunciation, for he shall save his people from their sins. The meaning of the name, Yeshua, is the Lord is our Savior. So when Peter stood there before the Sanhedrin that day and he made this confession before them, notice what he said. He said, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel. Now, this is a message that Peter said everybody needs to know. They needed to know it. All the people of Israel needed to know it. All of the Gentiles need to know it. And what did they need to know? That there is not salvation in any other. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.
We'll continue with more valuable insights on how to get to heaven in our next lesson as Pastor Brian once again leads us through the Acts of the Apostles. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled, How to Get to Heaven. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT3110. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian, or subscribe to our podcasts and vodcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.